Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to this. This is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. I'm JB, alone in the dungeon, but kind of joined down the line-ish by Tim Cocker in a van and Phil in his living room. How are we, gentlemen?
I'm very well. I'm having a think. We should really have got our theme tune done by a kids choir. In fact, can you get Lucy and Annabelle to sing, just to a cappella sing the theme tune? That would be amazing.
Well, I would, but my kids are only one quarter Asian, and that would not be diverse enough. I mean, the number one requirement for a choir, it would seem, is not that it can sing, but it is suitably diverse. So no, sadly,
Hold on. I'm actually going to stick up for the idea, the concept. These kids are orphans.
What? They were orphans. No,
what's wrong with the idea? It was a nice idea.
They were orphans.
Badly executed. Yeah.
No, they weren't. I feel terrible now.
I think they were.
they weren't orphans.
Well,
this,
know, that's fine, but there you go.
They weren't. They're orphans. Hang on a minute. Let's just. If the number one requirement for singing in a stadium is not having parents, I think they've got their criteria wrong. Where are you, Cocker? Because your signal is dreadful. You're dipping in and out, so you must be having fun. Where are you?
Yes. Do you know what? I will flip to the 5G on my phone, which I'm using up at a rate of knots.
Wi-Fi from somebody. Is that what you're up to?
No. I've bought this, like, I've got this device and bought a SIM card. It's like meant to create a
hotspot of some sort.
A little hotspot. But the actual bloody the native French one is dreadful, and my English 5G seems to be working much better. So hold on a minute.
Okay, well, whilst you sort that,
yeah, I'll sort that out.
I'll say hello to Phil. Hello, Phil.
Hello, JB. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. So, what are we doing today? We're talking about the preview of the World Cup games because, of course, all of the teams are out.
Teams are out.
Yeah, I'm not sure all of the teams are out. Some teams are out.
Anything taken your fancy so far?
Well, I did want to touch on a little bit of news slightly before that, which is the Tom Curry ban that we received, because that's probably the biggest bit of news that's occurred since we last recorded. What feels like
6 hours ago.
Yeah, it feels like 6 hours. I think it was a mere 48 hours ago that we last recorded a podcast.
Yeah, so if Tom Curry's banned for two games, right, which allegedly he is. No, not allegedly, he is, right?
Yeah.
What would be the obvious replacement to you?
Probably Willis.
Not Ben.
Or maybe.
Not Ben Curry, no?
Well, he's injured, isn't he?
Well, that's what they could do. Sorry, I might have to disconnect and then come back in if it persists. But the obvious thing would be Steve Borthwick to announce that because of the two-match ban, he is dropping Tom Curry from the squad and calling up Ben Curry.
Yeah, so I think I can just about tell the difference between the two of them. You wouldn't need to play Ben Curry. You would just need to ask him to look disappointed whilst Tom plays.
Very good. If only... I think the reason why Ben Curry missed the... certainly the warm-up camp and everything else was because he was injured. He did his hamstring very late on in the season, didn't he?
Yes,
so
he
was injured for the World Cup. Yeah. So if only they had played down that injury, they could have actually used that ploy.
Indeed. So are you happy with the ban? Is it proportionate, do you think?
I'm a bit surprised. Yes, but I am a little bit surprised, I must admit, that they didn't try and appeal it. So the RFU, who tried to appeal and on first pass successfully appealed Owen Farrell's red card, which to me the mitigation was less and the act more serious than Ben Curry. They appealed that, but they decided against appealing this one. That was probably the most surprising thing. So once they don't appeal it, then the red card stands and you just get meted out the kind of standard fare, which was for relatively low harm incidents. And a guy who's got a pretty clean record was 3 weeks reduced to 2 if he's got if he attends tackle school.
Tackle school, what a joke!
So I'm fine with that side. I said last week I thought there was at least grounds to argue mitigation.
Look,
whether those grounds are right or wrong, but there is at least grounds to argue mitigation because there is a significant drop in height.
Here's what I would argue, right? And Tim, feel free to jump in as soon as your Wi-Fi is fixed and whatnot. But if it was Argentina next week or a week after that, I think they would appeal. But actually, what's the point? Tom Curry is one of the few players who I think is guaranteed to start when he's fit. You're not going to need him against whoever you're playing next. And you're probably not going to need him until, what, Samoa. And you might not even need him then, frankly. You know, it's one of those things you just might not need. So the next big game is probably going to be Wales or Australia or Fiji, depending on how things pan out, at which point they will need him. And because he's a starter, I mean, do you want to risk... Imagine if he did his cruciate in playing Chile or playing Japan. Like, there's just no point, is there? And there is intrinsic cost in defending this. I don't know how much it costs to wheel out the barristers to write Owen Farrell's 800-word report or 800-page report or 80-page report or whatever the hell it was. It's not cheap, though. You know, Bill Sweeney has got to save all the pennies he possibly can in order to pay himself. So unless he absolutely needs to, I don't see why he just don't wear the 2-week ban and go on with it. 2-game ban.
Well, that is precisely what they have done.
Yeah.
So he will definitely miss Japan. He'll definitely miss Chile. He will be eligible for Samoa. And then unless something goes disastrously wrong, he will hopefully be fit, firing and ready for the quarterfinal. So, yeah, that's what they've chosen to do. And maybe they can use that to kind of cow some favour for a future potential appeal and say, oh, look, we didn't appeal that one, but we're going to on this one. So you need to...
Take it seriously. Let us off.
Yeah. Do us a favour on this next one.
Yeah. Okay, so which of the teams are not out? That's probably a better way to do it.
No, it's probably easier to say the ones that are out. South Africa have named 4 scrum halves in their 23-man squad, which is very fun.
It is.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you watch Grant Williams play, he's obviously a utility player. Faf can play 2 positions, so maybe he can...
Yeah, I know. But it's nonetheless fun.
It's unusual to pick 4. While several of them can play different positions, they are primarily scrum halves.
Yeah,
you've got 4 of them in a matchday squad.
I think it's quite good to see, actually, because in my mind it is just doing what everyone would like to do, which is picking your best players regardless of position. And that South Africa squad is more balanced than you realise, because of course Libak starts, but I love Wilhelmsy playing at 10.
Well,
I think he's a great player.
Libak doesn't start this week.
No, Wilhelmsy does. Or Wilhelmsy.
Yes.
So
yeah, Damien Wilhelmsy.
Wilhelmsy. So like,
yeah.
they've got plenty of options in lots of different positions. Those two boys are world-class tens. You don't really need another one. Just take the best guys you can. Grant Williams can obviously play different positions. We saw, who was the guy who used to play scrum off for Northampton, whose name escapes me now?
Cobus Reinach, he's starting.
Cobus Reinach, he can go on the wing because he's absolutely electric and he's played.
So this is what I mean, that they could legitimately have all four. I bet you, just for giggles, Jack Nienaber and Razzy will have all four on at one point, with Cobus Reinach on one wing, Grant Williams on the other, Faf at 10, and Jaden Hendricks are at 9.
Quite possibly. It is the sort of thing they would do. If they would be more serious about it, and I don't know if they will or not, they probably don't play Faf. I think Faf is emergency.
Yeah, because he is the starting 9.
Yeah. Although, do you know, looking at those other boys, I mean, you can make an argument that any of them could start. It's not like they're bad. And Faf does have the occasional
Their squad
nightmare,
is outrageous,
isn't it?
Because it doesn't even. You look at that team; it doesn't look like a weakened team.
No, it doesn't. It just looks like another team, another monstrous team.
It's frightening.
I mean, they've only played one game, but including the build-up as well, I'm loving South Africa. I mean, loving South Africa every bit as much as I'm loving France.
So South Africa, their opposition, Romania, sadly have not announced their squad. But it doesn't matter who they put out, they're going to be in for an absolute high.
They're going to get absolutely pasted.
Also, what would we say about it?
Exactly. Nothing.
Who?
Yeah.
Wales named their squad, it's all changed for them. New Zealand named their squad, it's all changed for them. Bar a couple of players in each side, it's 12 or 13 changes to the side. So this, I think what this speaks to is the fact that this weekend's fixtures are not great.
No, they're not, are they? So I think the tournament organisers loaded up the first week with some interesting games. Second week, when everyone's sort of engaged and there's a bit of interest, you get the second week done, and then you get back into the meaty stuff on third and fourth week. That's what I think they've done.
Yeah, and I suppose England-Japan should have been a pretty tasty matchup when you think back 4 years, but it's just that they've fallen off a cliff. But on the flip side, Tonga have got the potential to take a couple of casualties against Ireland. So I think that's the biggest. I think that's the biggest thing out of this weekend, is just coming through unscathed. There is news that Malcolm Marks has got an injury, severity as yet unknown.
Oh no!
But so they're like, it's going to be an attritional World Cup. So that's probably where the focus is.
Have we heard about the Marchand injury as well?
Yeah, we haven't actually heard. Yeah, I think he's going to be out probably for the pool stages now. And he missed the 2019 World Cup, isn't he? He's got rotten luck.
Oh, because he is a hell of a player.
Yeah, he really is.
And they've got France's three options at hooker are incredible. With when the two-time reigning Heineken Cup starting hooker Pierre Bouguerit is your third choice hooker, you're doing all right.
He is ace as well. I love him.
Yeah, so he's absolutely ace. And he's third choice.
And by the way, the starting hooker on Friday, names escape me now, the guy we were just speaking about.
Julien Marchand
is a great player. Sure he is. But actually, I thought France came to life when Malvaka came on the field. And this seems to always happen, whether it be Toulouse or France. Malvaka's ace, and he's on the bench again. So they don't lose much, if anything.
Yeah.
France, Uruguay, that's got to be a walkover. Pretty much a walkover.
It's all walkovers except for Samoa, Chile. Chile have got the potential to cause an upset, I guess, against Samoa. Tonga have got I just don't see them getting close to Ireland, but they've got the opportunity to. Japan could do something against England. I just don't expect it. This whole weekend's game run of games is all based on Australia Fiji being a belter. If Australia Fiji is a dull, 6-3 win to Australia with terrible, terrible play, the whole weekend could be a write-off.
Do you know what's
really
going to happen, Tim?
Momentum out of the World Cup.
Do you know what's going to happen this weekend? I guarantee this will happen. The rugby won't be great because it'll all be like 60-odd points to nil in almost every game. Almost every game, right? Somebody big is going to get a red card, and that's going to be the story. It's going to be two or three names are going to get a big red card, and it's going to affect the rest of the tournament. And I think it just shows where rugby's going. Sadly, it's going to be the people that make the laws making the headlines come Monday morning, because there's just not enough competitive rugby in this round of games.
Well, I mean, there's even talk today, another story I was reading is about the Australia haven't announced where the World Cup final will be because it hasn't been decided whether the World Cup will be expanded next year. And I just think we were hoping, and Phil mentioned this on a previous podcast, we were really hoping this was going to be the World Cup where we get an upset and that gap would be bridged. But I think there's two things I take from this. The World Cup is not ready to expand.
No, it's not.
And more needs to and should be done to not sever the gap between the so-called Tier 1 and Tier 2. And I think that those phrases in themselves have a negative impact in some respect.
Okay, so just to correct you on one thing there. The only people that call it Tier 1 and Tier 2 are people like us. That's not an official term. So, like, if you say Tier 1 and Tier 2 to someone in World Rugby, they will correct you immediately. They'll call it something else. I think they call it Emerging Nations, don't they? So I don't think it's fair to say, look, we shouldn't even be calling them Tier 1 and Tier 2. Well, it's only us.
Well, that name's come from somewhere where it's ubiquitous. We haven't made it up. It's how they've... Yeah, but I think it's probably... I think this is exactly my point. Yeah. The bigger nations, the bigger unions and the bigger country and the countries... And the fans and the media and everything that follow the bigger nations, like England, for example, England, Wales, all the home nations, everyone in the rugby championship, refer to them as tier two because they see them as below.
I think it's a historic moniker, is it not?
Yeah. Well, exactly. But that I think that plays into the attitude towards these teams, and that's what needs to be changed if you're actually going to end up with a World Cup where it is because this has got the potential. Because round three's games, you've got. Suddenly, round three's games, actually, you've got like Ireland, South Africa, haven't you?
Yes.
You've got Wales, Australia. But that could end up being not a lot riding on it. And you have got Ireland, South Africa, so that'll be big. But there is a potential for the interest to ebb away a little bit this weekend after a great start.
Yeah. You're 100% right on that. I'm just going to pose a different question to you, though, Tim, right? Just looking at it from a different angle. Do you think it's possible that actually the gap has been closed somewhat? Because I think it has. But they're just unlucky. And what I mean by that is the teams that are supposed to be winning are winning. So say if, I don't know, Chile could beat Japan, you know, three out of 10 times. It just happens to be that we've got, you know, the 7 out of 10 times that Japan win. And so on and so forth. Whereas last year it might have been 1 out of 10, something like that. And it might just be the case that, the standard is going up because I was really impressed with Chile. I really impressed. But they just weren't quite good enough to beat Japan. And if, you know, things stick to the form book and the bookies are right on how they see the game, unless these teams start becoming favourites, which is what we'd all like, I don't think, you know, it is possible that even though the gap is closing, we just don't see the upsets that we want to see.
I think that's reasonable.
Yeah. I think the other thing as well is, just to your point about expanding it, it's definitely not ready to expand. And if the authorities want to give the Tier 2 nations, emerging nations, I should say, more of a chance, it does make sense not to expand it because it gives you regular rugby to qualify for the World Cup. And that's actually quite important because if your only rugby is the World Cup, so for instance, Japan have played 17 games before... They played Chile on the weekend. That is it in 4 years. 17 games. Which just isn't enough. So there's a good chance that because the World Cup exists and you get entry to the World Cup, that's going to be the majority of your competitive international rugby against teams that you don't regularly play against. I actually think that having the World Cup in this size could promote more competitive rugby, which would be beneficial outside of the World Cup window.
Yeah, I guess the final thing I'd add on this is that the World League Rugby Championship Six Nations to make money in the short term is going to have downwind negative consequences it should not be the way that they go.
Well, you know why the World League exists, don't you? Just well, it's more than that. So it's
wrestling, World Rugby wrestling control from Six Nations,
Six Nations, World Rugby, they're all fighting each other. And of course, the people they should be fighting, and they shouldn't be fighting, actually, they should be working together, but they never will. because I guess between Six Nations and World Rugby, it's like the narcissism of small differences, is of course the top 14, which is going to dominate both of them in very short order. Phil, are you... Phil, are you back?
I am back. Sorry about that. I don't know what happened to my... I've got Tim's French 4G connection.
Ah, good.
But I kind of like the idea of... idea from a distance of the principle of a world league, if it was totally different and you could make it work. And by that, I mean...
Two massive parameters there, Phil.
The idea of a world league, I'm not against, but when you consider that the only way you're going to... So you're not going to be able to do it with much more than 10 games a season, because that's roughly what we have now. Maybe you have five in the Six Nations, you have two or three in the summer, and you have three, maybe four in the winter. So 10 to 12 games. But of the 10 to 12 games, nine of those are going to be taken up playing the other nine of the top 10 tier one, counting Rugby Championship and Six Nations as tier one nations.
Yeah.
And there's no way that you can have any single calendar year without a Six Nations, because it's just too profitable.
It's the only thing that makes money.
It is, and it makes money for those nations, which props up a big chunk of that, the rugby, the grassroots and upwards rugby in those nations. And also now it makes a bit of money for CVC.
One third of it goes to CVC. Thanks, Bill. Cheers, Bill.
I think that one's... isn't that one about 12 or 15%?
It doesn't matter. It goes
anyway.
It doesn't come to us.
Too much of it goes to CVC.
Yeah.
But what that means is half of your calendar, half of your available slots every single year will be taken up by the Six Nations, regardless. Like that is happening. And there's no way around that. And really, there shouldn't be. But then if you want to throw the other four tier one teams in Argentina, South Africa, New Zealand and Australia, and then the next biggest market in Japan, it basically means there is zero room for any of those tier one nations to play any of the tier two nations. So if you could free up...
And at the same time, they want to introduce it with no promotion relegation element involved. So you're effectively just like shutting the door.
And this is the thing, like you've either got to give up the Six Nations, the most profitable element, which will not happen, or you can't do promotion relegation and you have to exclude the tier two. And that's the bit that, like, I don't want to get rid of the Six Nations, and I would love to have more tier one tier two games, and more overall games where tier two teams are exposed to different competitive rugby, exactly as you said about the qualification. JB, you just can't square those two circles without something major changing.
Another thing which we need to consider as well is I don't think international rugby...
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Is the best way to produce better international rugby? So it's all very well saying Jordan need more games, Chile need more games. I mean, the biggest benefit to Chile is not more games. It is keeping their squad together or having one really, really powerful club team, as we were speaking about. And I think that is a model for the emerging nations, and not just for the emerging nations, all nations. You know, you need their club teams playing competitive rugby week in, week out in something that means something. I think Namibia, I mean, they do have a team in the Currie Cup, I think. But surely they would benefit from more exposure to club rugby on a consistent basis, or Just so many, there's so many good examples. Fiji have benefited enormously from this. So I actually don't think the best model for international rugby is more international rugby. I think it's more club rugby at a higher level.
I completely agree with that. And we spoke about it the last 2 weeks. I think that's it's something to take out of this and the rise of Chile and the good things that Uruguay are doing, the good things that Fiji are doing, the good things that Argentina did and continue to do because the players have got great cohesion thanks to playing 5 years together in that Jaguares team. Like you need that in Georgia. You need a team in Georgia playing competitive games in Europe. Same with Romania. Same with any of them.
If I had serious money, like serious money, and I wanted to invest into rugby, like everyone talks about the United States being the place to go. I wonder if it's South America. That's what I think. The Spanish-speaking nations. You've already got a good basis. You've already got four countries at play. Definitely three countries at play. I mean, to me, it sounds like a really good idea.
Do you remember a few years ago? I've not seen any videos for a little while, but a few years ago, there was a load of videos of Brazil playing. And the thing that was amazing was the power of their scrum.
Yes, this is ringing a bell.
And I will add how lovely their stash was.
Yes, of course. But yeah, Brazil had an amazing... I need to look into that, but Brazil had an amazing scrum.
Yeah, can you imagine the cliches that would come from a Brazilian team, though? I mean, the cliches in rugby are bad enough already, but the Samba boys, the skill, the kicking ability, none of which would be true. But that's exactly what they'd be talking about.
So Brazil do have the Cobras, who play in the Super Rugby Americas, alongside Penarol, which is the Uruguayan team, and Selknam, which is the very successful Chilean team.
I tell you what,
who the whole pack is based on.
I'm pretty sure that would be the rugby market that I'd put my money into. That one. That one right there.
That's, I mean, if you want to buy low, sell high, it's a market that has some growth potential, significant growth potential.
Yeah.
Well, just touching on club rugby for a second, and just obviously France being the model, I wanted to go and just do a recce and make sure I knew where I was going.
Okay.
Tomorrow morning, Scotland have an open training session at their base, so I'm going to go down there and see what I can get. And it's at Stade Niçois, which is the top team in the area. It's the Nice rugby team. And they're in the third division, so it's at Federal 1. And it was awesome being there. They've got a brilliant little stadium. It's like, it just blew my mind. It was like, oh my goodness, this is like, there's a better atmosphere here than you get at, it wasn't a game on, it was just like the academy was down, there was, the youth teams were all out training, the club was just buzzing, and that's the third division. It was ace.
Yep, yep. We're in trouble, Tim, we're in trouble. We're in real, real trouble.
Well, but I say France is the life raft and it's showing the way.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But, you know, that life raft is going to pick up all of the drowning players from the Premiership and then the English leagues. We're in serious trouble.
Well, I listened to the podcast that my phone decided to do an update when I was starting, so I missed the other day. So I listened to that and I'm kind of more optimistic that changes that need to be made will be made.
Give me one optimistic change.
No, this is World Cup. This is World Cup.
Tim, here's a little fact for you for tomorrow. You might already know this, but one of the current Scotland squad played for Stade Niçois for a couple of years.
Fair play, Phil.
I did not know that. That's a great stat.
So this is from.
I'm going to pretend I knew it all along, though.
Well, so on 25th of July 2017, the Scottish Rugby Union announced a performance pathway in partnership with Stade Niçois. As part of this partnership, several Scotland rugby players joined the French club, including former London Scottish player Dave Cherry.
Wow.
Well, well, well.
Good knowledge. Great knowledge.
That's great. That is fantastic knowledge. I'm going to pretend like I knew that all along.
If I was a professional rugby player, I'd want to have a stint in France. I tell you, did have a stint in New Zealand. Hang on, I'll come back to that in a second. before I continue. I'd want a stint in New Zealand, France, Japan, England. I think I'd put the money to one side and the England ambitions to one side because it's not worth that much anymore for a start. And just go and try and get as much experience around the globe as I possibly could.
Mm. So who are you going to say did a stint in New Zealand?
Yeah, because it's quite interesting. So a friend of mine, Chris Bentley, played back-to-back seasons. So he played something like, I can't remember the exact consecutive weeks or games that he played, but when New Zealand were playing their season, it was the off-season of England. So he basically played for two or three years straight, going back and forth, which I think is exactly how you do it.
That's cool.
Isn't it?
Have a shorter career, but fit more seasons in that time.
Well, I mean, even that. I mean, I think he played till he was like mid-30s. I think...
I think Tom
Wood did the same. I think Tom Wood had a little stint. Famously, so did Martin Johnson. But I'd like to know who the English guy is who has played the most top leagues.
Probably Haskell.
Haskell's Good. A great shout. Good, maybe.
He did South Africa, didn't he?
He did.
Jamie Roberts. That's the answer. Surely.
Jamie Roberts has Probably, been everywhere. Yeah.
South Africa, Australia...
Japan.
No, I don't know if he did Japan. He probably
and France.
Did. Definitely France.
France and England and Wales.
And Wales.
Yeah, probably. I'll push the conversation on to something else that was quite interesting. Alan Waters has basically said that England looking bad in the warm-up games was all part of the plan. Now, not directly saying we wanted to play badly, but do you remember, I think it was the Ireland game, or it might have been one of the Wales games, I remember seeing England walking out of the tunnel for the second half, and I was just like, they've got 1,000-yard stares on. They look like they have no energy. And that was one of the things we said during the World Cup warm-ups. They've got no energy.
Yeah.
Well, Alan Walters has basically said he's been loading up the players so that they have been tired when they've been playing the World Cup warm-up games. And that may explain the sudden boost of energy that it appears they have. And players like Maro Itoje, who looked a shadow of himself, suddenly looking like he's back towards where he was 4 years ago. Maybe Alan Waters, who is highly regarded, has won a World Cup with South Africa 4 years ago. Maybe he has actually got a plan.
So two things I'd say about this. If anyone else in the world had said that, I would mock them mercilessly. But Alan Waters, as you say, Tim, has got one hell of a reputation and he kind of gets the benefit of the doubt. If that's what he said, I tend to lean towards the fact it might be true. That's my first thing. But there is another thing which I would like to question on this, which is there not a massive correlation between fatigued players and potential injury? And is that wise?
Mm-hmm. So I think the answer to that second one is probably. I don't know the data for definite, but maybe they just looked and said, well, we've got enough depth in the positions, therefore it's a risk we're willing to take to get that boost.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, but you know, aren't you wanting to load these players so that they go through a process and come the end of that process when they deload and then stop playing, which is it's quite common in lots of other sports, isn't it? Like weightlifting, for example. You load, and then a week before competition you start deloading, or even 2 weeks before. So
yeah.
You know, it is a thing that happens. There's no two ways about that. But then it's sort of counterproductive, isn't it, to take a guy out who's done, say, 75% of his loading because he's injured and bring in a fresh guy who's done no loading.
Well, there hasn't been many injuries in the England camp.
No, but I'm just going to Phil's point. Like, would they say it's worth injuring these players? Presumably, if they put them on the journey, they want them to finish the journey.
Well, but then, maybe his conditioning is so good that he manages to get the amount of fatigue that he wants without crossing that line into creating an injury risk.
Quite possible. The things that these guys can do is incredible.
But also, if you, let's say your worst case scenario injury attrition rate is, I don't know, 20%, then you only need 40 blokes in your squad. Like you only need to load up 40 blokes. And if it's double that, you need to load up like just 45 blokes. So it's not that hard.
Imagine.
And
when you
have 23 guys playing on the Saturday, it's not that hard to have the other 15 or however many guys, 17, 20, doing a significant fitness drill on the morning of the game or even after the game. So God. Everyone is getting broadly the same loading, using that terminology.
Yeah, so I just want to, I'd love to be party to the conversation. So, okay, 20% dropout rate, for example. So long as we stay below the dropout rate, we're good to go. So a guy comes up to you saying injured, what do you say? Just a statistic, mate. Or if you get like a handful of props injured, do you just stop the props training altogether? It's like, no, we can afford more back rows going down, but not you boys. You need to stop now.
Maybe it was, or maybe it was the guys had to work hardest where there was the most depth.
Yes.
Like all the back rows and where else have England got depth? Nowhere else, really. The back rows had to work twice as hard as anyone else.
Like, you see someone go down with a cruciate injury and you just go, well, I guess we're ahead of schedule with our injuries because we should have two by now. That's awesome.
It is collateral damage.
Collateral damage. Go home, pal. Your collateral damage.
To be fair, you'd take the risk. Like, if you were in that team, you'd want the risk of being collateral damaged for the shot of winning the World Cup, I would have thought.
Yeah, absolutely. World Cups are won on hard work, so why not?
And because you're kind of putting your body on the line anyway, it's kind of like, I don't know, it's a part of the job.
Yeah, it is. It's an occupational hazard.
Exactly.
So, England, is the team out?
No.
Brilliant. Well, we'll end that.
Yes. Well, the game's on Sunday, so that gets announced on Friday afternoon and evening.
Got it. Okay. What else do you want to review, if anything?
I think that's about it, isn't it?
No, it's kind of. I'm just thinking. There's not really any major injury worries. I mentioned Malcolm Marks and Julian Marchand, and Tate McDermott's out for this game against Fiji, but they've got Nick White.
Terrible replacement. Awful.
Jack Conan won't be playing for Ireland, but he'll be fit for the box. So I think that's pretty much it.
Dan Sheehan is might not be playing this game, but he's back fit, which is good for Ireland. Which is very important for Ireland.
Excellent. Okay, well, if we've got no more to say about the World Cup build-up for what might be one of the most predictable weeks of games that the World Cup has ever seen, we can leave it there.
Well, it's a good one for an accumulator. I don't know what it's all on the feed. Well, actually, if you just did the seven games excluding Fiji Australia as an accumulator, you probably you could put a decent chunk of change down and have every confidence that you're almost guaranteed to get something a bit more back.
Now, you're not allowed to do this, are you, Tim?
Am I allowed to bet on the Rugby World Cup? I might be allowed to on the Rugby World Cup.
You're not allowed to bet on the Premiership. That's why you use my account, right?
Not allowed. I've never betted on the Premiership. Take that back. No, I haven't been allowed to bet on the Premiership.
Right. Okay.
Or the European Cup.
Well, but I guess there is one more prediction to do before we go, or not really a prediction, but a review. Have you bought any bottles of spirits or liqueurs yet, as we advised you to do, Tim?
No, I haven't. I really haven't. I've been to CrossFit twice, though.
Have you? Tell me about that. Now we're excited. Yeah. What?
I went to Cagnes, or I don't know exactly where it is, just outside Nice, Sur-Mer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really awesome box. And I like practice my French all day. I was like, right, okay. So I've practiced how to say, can I, I'm here for a week. Can I? Blah, blah, blah. I've practiced it in my head. And then I just went, bonjour. I can't remember. I've even forgotten what the...
I hate this.
What the French I was going to say was. And she just went, hey, what's your name? How are you doing? Yeah, come on in. Like in the most incredible English ever. And then everyone was. So, but it's actually really good for... It was great training, but it's really good for your French as well, because you have to listen to the instructor and you pick a lot of stuff up. But... what I've noticed is in CrossFit, all of the movements are the same as in English. So today I was doing 30 double unders, and then followed by un wall walk with avec 10 shoulder tap. They just, it's all got the same, it's all the same. They don't translate it to French. They just, you say squat clean is squat clean in French.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I hit a 131 squat clean today, Tim. Don't want to talk
very
about
good.
It, but it did happen.
Very good. Like you put those little quarter kilo.
Actually, it wasn't 131. It was 130.5. Ooh. So it is a 0.25 plates, which I whacked on the end. Are the French in good shape with all their cheese?
There is one guy there who, yeah, they are in good shape. There was one guy there who, it was his birthday yesterday, so it was a little thing they do at that box where everyone goes, after the wad's done, everyone goes in a little circle around him, and the person does, and everyone does it with him. Whatever birthday is in burpees, and I said, "How old is he?" And he said, "No. You have to do the burpees to find out."
Love it.
He was in incredible shape for a 46-year-old.
Damn it! Incredible shape. Yeah. So
awesome.
I've done CrossFit in two different countries, right? I think two different countries. Yeah. One was in the Canary Islands, Gran Canaria, and I swear to God, some of those guys looked like they looked like they had been CGI'd. Like, they were that good shape. It was, and I think it's because they're always topless and they're tanned and they're brown, and yeah, everyone was stunning. I was like, God, okay, great. And the other time I did it was in Holland. Now, if you're late in my box, basically, you know, you're scum. You get shouted at.
I'm really sorry. Can you tell Phil this and I'll listen to the rest on the podcast? I have to go. I've got to be on Talk Sport in a couple of minutes.
Go, Tim.
Sorry. That was rude, but now.
Off you go, mate.
See ya.
See you later. I'm sure this podcast was his idea. yeah, I was late for the box in Holland, and they offered me a cup of tea.
What, for being late?
For being late, because I looked a bit wet because I had to cycle there. I said, "Oh, would you like some tea?" So yeah.
I hope they spat in it.
Yeah, and then they gave me some pink cakes, which was very nice. Really enjoyed that box.
Now, just final thing to go back onto rugby before we finish.
If we must,
I've just had a look at the accumulator for this weekend.
Yep.
So it's not very profitable.
Is it not?
So for one thing, France, so I'm on, this is on Betfair, other markets are available. On Betfair, they are not even taking bets backing France against Uruguay, New Zealand against Namibia, and South Africa against Romania.
Oh my word.
They are all like basically inevitable that those teams are going to win. You can get 1.03 backing England, 1.02 backing Ireland,
wow,
1.02 backing Samoa, and 1.01 backing Wales. Now you can get 1.3 backing Australia, but if as Tim said, bet on everything you can bet on apart from the Australia Fiji game. 10 quid would return you 80 pence.
No!
So you put £10 on, and if those four results come in, you get your stake back plus 80 pence. So that is not worth it. I think looking at this market...
What about Romania and Namibia and Uruguay to win? £10.
Well, let's have a quick look at that then. So, Uruguay, Namibia, and Romania. Wow. That is long.
That's what she said.
Let's just put this in. So, your same 10 quid would get you 1,326,500. £510.
Is that better or worse odds than the lottery?
Well, the lottery I think is about 14 or 15 million to one. So this is 1.3 million to 10. So this is worse. This is a factor of 100 worse than the lottery.
How
or more? So yeah, it's a factor of 100 more likely than the lottery.
So if I've got £10, I should put it all on the lottery.
It's the same. You're throwing away in either situation. I think you're basically burning that tenner.
Wow! What a week! What a weekend in store for us, eh?
So if you were going to bet on anything, I would say do a single on either Chile at 23-1 or 23s, or Tonga at 26s. But both of those, I think, are probably too short for reality, but they are the most likely upsets to happen.
Samoa must be playing this weekend.
Yes, so Chile against Samoa.
Oh, right, so they're favourites, are they?
So, yeah, right. Samoa are 1.02 favourites. Very, very strong favourites.
Right, okay. Oh, dear, right. Well, hopefully things will get better next week.
Yes, they can't get any worse.
No. So when will we be back? Saturday? Sunday? Monday?
Perhaps all three.
All three. So from this very disjointed podcast, that's our very disjointed schedule for next week. And I guess that's it. We will see you sometime in the future, Saturday, Sunday, or Monday.
Let the boys play.
Let the boys play.